What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 404, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that helps us out and keeps the podcast ongoing, it doesn't cost you anything. So whatever you're buying, it doesn't matter.
Nobody's going to find this one.
Yeah.
This is episode 404. Nobody's going to find it.
I see what you did there. Well, that is, of course, Ryan. He's real excited to the podcast. You should have seen him before he was jumping all around and dancing and everything.
Countdown was going. Yeah.
Yeah. You're ready for the
podcast. Well, we took a week off. So
we did. And I'm still not 100%. Like, I was sick.
Well, even the week before, you were not feeling well.
So the last podcast, which was 2 weeks ago, I was starting to get sick and I could feel it. And then I was like sick for like 3 or 4 days. And then I felt like I was getting better. So yeah. I was like, the day I felt I was getting better, I was like doing stuff, working, like getting all the stuff done. Next day, back to square one. It was like, I have like this like lingering sickness and it's still here. But it was really bad. Like, you know, when you're sick and you're just super tired all the time.
Oh yeah.
I was legit like just sleeping it. And like I said, I don't know what's wrong with me. Hopefully it's nothing crazy, but. Right. But we're back with the podcast. We have a lot to talk about, a lot going on in the industry, really cool reviews that both I and Ryan took a look at. We did a complete build video, which was a lot of fun, and I built a really awesome system. I mean, this system is just it could totally replace my system that's right here.
Yeah.
I mean, if the case was smaller, I would consider it because it's a really great system that we were able to build with the help of MSI. So that was a lot of fun. So lots to get into this week. Of course, we do have our full show notes page here that has everything that we are going to be talking about this week. All the reviews, all the news, everything is all right here. So let's just jump into reviews this week. And the first thing that we're going to be talking about is this right here. This is the brand new Crucial T705, and they sent over the special edition, which as you can see is white and it has the white heat sink here. That's the only difference of the special edition and the non-special edition. But this is of course it's a Gen 5, as I like to say, or a PCI Express 5.0 NVMe SSD, and it is the fastest drive that we've ever tested. So it's extremely
smoking,
extremely fast. Very much the same design as their T700, which we also reviewed. That was actually the first Gen 5 that we reviewed. And we did talk about Phison, their E26 maximum preview that we did right before CES. You know, the E26 controller, which this drive is based on, a lot of drives came out over the past year and a half that are based on that controller, but a lot of these drives were like, you know, 10 gigabytes a second or, you know, 12 gigabytes a second, but this controller can really do up to like the 14, 15 gigabytes per second. And Phison showed that if you highly optimize the drive, you can maintain those speeds. You can really actually get those speeds. So Phison did it themselves, you know, and they sent us a drive that was highly optimized. Now that's not a drive you can buy, but Crucial has done the same thing here with the T705, and it's rated for speeds of 14,500 megabytes a second read and 12,700 megabytes a second write. So extremely, extremely fast. It uses the same overall non-active cooling. So there's no fan on this. It's just a heat sink that you can see right here. It's just a heat sink. But it is, I mean, it's not, I wouldn't call it massive by any means, but it's a larger heat sink. Uses the same heat sink design as what we saw in the T700. You can get this in capacities up to 4 terabytes. And like I said, the special edition is white. The non-special edition will just have a black heat sink. You can also get it in a non-heat sink version, but I would recommend that if you are getting the non-heatsink version, you want to make sure you have a motherboard that has a hefty M.2 cooling solution, not the really thin ones. We've seen some motherboards, I know Gigabyte and MSI has the like really thick M.2 cooling solutions. You want to use this on this drive because it is going to get warm. And we actually did see thermal throttling when we didn't have air going over the drive, which I'll show you. So if you, we had it in a test bench, which isn't necessarily like what most people would have it in. They would have it in a system where you have air. Our test bench has no fans beyond the radiator, of course, that we use for our AIO. So as you can see here, the drive's, you know, speeding up and then it throttles when it gets too hot. All I did was put a fan over it just to, you know, and no throttling at all after that. So if you're using this in a normal case, you know, and again, the Gen 5 slot is going to be above your graphics card. So you should have air flowing over that section, whether it's from your exhaust fan or your front fans, you should have air going over there. So it really shouldn't be an issue for most people. But it's definitely something to keep in mind, especially again, if you are going to get the non-heatsink version, you want a hefty cooling solution on top of this. But if you look at the results of this drive, I mean, it you know, here's all our Gen 4 drives here. And you can see, I mean, it is at the top, basically neck and neck with Phison's own highly optimized drive that they sent us over. So super, super fast. And you can see even compared to their own T700, which uses the same components, really, it's beating it by about 2 gigabytes per second. And again, same thing here, you know, as we go down here, I mean, it is just a super fast drive, and this is the fastest retail drive that we've ever tested. It's
pretty impressive,
just awesome how fast and how it can maintain that speed as well. And again, even like this doesn't necessarily need an active cooling solution per se, so that's really nice too. You know, this one, the 2 terabyte is $346.99. Again, you can get it in 1 terabyte and 4 terabyte. And like I said, the only thing I really didn't like about it was, again, if you don't have air going over it, it will thermally throttle. But overall, it is a great drive, and I'm going to be using this in all of our testing of Gen 5 drives because it's awesome. So you got to get one of these, dog.
I don't have a board that supports it yet.
Oh, you don't? Yeah, I guess yours is
Gen 4. Yeah.
But just a really good drive from Crucial, and you should expect to see a lot of these drives come out. Again, we saw like that first run of the E26-based drives. They're about 2 gigabytes a second slower than this. And again, this isn't a drive to get if you're on Gen 4 and maybe your board has Gen 5. This is something if you're on an older board and you're building a new system, this is something that you're going to put in your system if you want the fastest thing possible. And everything's going to load extremely fast with this drive, which is really awesome. So definitely go ahead and check that review out. We'll move on to Ryan, and he took a look at a really cool liquid CPU cooler. And I have to say that it's nice to see something kind of new. Yeah. I know Ryan will go over it, but like we talk about how everything's the same. We see the same cases, we see the same AIOs, and we see the same improvements, right? Like we've gone from, you know, just a normal block, and then the block had lights on it, and then we went from, you know, the lights on the block to a screen, and now this is, I think, something completely different and a completely different design philosophy. That's kind of my 2 cents on it, but I know Ryan will definitely go into more detail.
Gotcha. I just want to check my audio and video. Do I look all right? You got a little choppy there for a second, and I don't know if it was me or you. So if everything looks good to you, then
you look good.
All right. Well, keep going then.
Fiber's working over here. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I've got a little bandwidth icon here on StreamYard. But anyhow, yeah. So I took a look at the height thick Q60. This is an AIO that we kind of saw in secret back at CES 2023. behind closed doors, right? We got a little sneak peek at it. And it was at the time, I don't think they were really sure whether or not they were going to launch it or not. And then we saw it again at CES 2024 this year. And that at that point it was, you know, hey, we're coming out with this thing. Take a look at it. And, you know, it is every bit of the cooler that you expect it to be with that name, that thick title, right? Everything about this thing is thick. So this is a 240 millimeter sized AIO with like an asterisk next to it, right? Because what it actually, well, I'll get to it in a minute, but just know that there's a 240 millimeter AIO that performs much better than what you would think a 240 millimeter AIO would do. So I really liked the packaging for this. It's not just like your standard like box as well. It's got just like this, you know, psychedelic, trippy, flowy box with no product image on the front, but they've got some info on the back. But one thing I wanted to point out that's kind of cool, and you don't notice it much on this product, and I don't know if the box was old or what it was, but there's another product, some fans and stuff they sent me. But if you look at this box, there's this little white like square in the middle. That's supposed to be like a diffuser with an aroma. So you open the box up and you get this like scent of, you know, perfume type of thing. This one I think was maybe dried out, or I don't know what was up with it. But one of the other boxes that I had opened up for the other products, you open it up and you get this nice smell. So it's just kind of like this unique thing from Height that I thought was kind of cool and I wanted to share. So, you know, they had some really nice protection on the components for shipping as well. A nice, you know, sleeve over the radiator. A lot of times sometimes you'll get a sleeve. Sometimes you'll just get like a plastic bag. But just again, it's Height has gone and done a lot of things differently. They've made a really nice unboxing process here. You're used to getting like just plastic bags with, you know, whether it's a case you're, you know, bought or whatever component it is, you get these like just plastic bags that maybe have a sticker on them. These were all like these felt cloth type bags, you know, just it's just a different experience. And I wanted to make sure.
And everything seems to be labeled, which,
yeah,
you've done. And it's not even when it comes to AIOs, but cases or whatever and anything.
Yeah, sometimes like, okay, it's just like, here's a bag of random screws.
Yeah, here's like, you kind of have to figure it out, or like, okay, what mount is the, I mean, you kind of know which one's the AMD mount or the Intel mount, but you know, right. It's just nice when things are labeled, you know what to grab when you're doing your install. So
absolutely. And I wanted to show this breakout cable here. That's what it's called. It's this, you know, molded cable with two USB type C ends on it. And what Height has done is they've utilized this Nexus Link connection, which is essentially using USB type C ports. That way you don't have to have cabling for your fans, for the pump block, anything like that, right? So they've put everything and wired everything back.
There's no cable.
Yeah, there's no cables on any of the components that you notice, right? Everything goes back to this one spot on the radiator, and I'll show that in a minute, but I wanted to show the cable that plugs in. And on the other end of this, you have three additional cables. You've got a USB type 2 header, right? Or plug to go on your motherboard for connectivity back to control the screen that's on here. Surprise, there's a huge 5-inch LCD on this cooler. You've got your 4-pin to go to your motherboard for your CPU connection. And then you have a 6-pin PCIe plug, which is like, I've never seen that on a cooler at all. And it'll make sense as we get further along this. I was expecting maybe like, you know, power to come from that, a 4-pin connection, or maybe just a SATA power connection, but nope, we've got a 6-pin PCIe connector, which we'll get to here in a second. So starting off with that radiator, I'm going to mention the thick name again. This is a 52 millimeter radiator. Typically on AIOs, it's anywhere from like 26 to 28 millimeters thick. So this is twice as thick pretty much as standard AIO radiators. So when you think about it, you could actually slice this radiator lengthwise and take those two pieces, put them next to each other, and you'd essentially have a 480 millimeter radiator right here, right? So that's kind of amazing, right? You've got this 240 millimeter footprint giving you the surface area of essentially a 480 millimeter radiator. So right away, you know that like this has the capacity to cool very, you know, heavy workloads and just have a lot more performance in a smaller footprint. Now that footprint, again, translates to a thicker radiator, right? It's twice as thick. So you've got to think about what case you're putting this in, what components you're utilizing with it, and things like that. Height does have a compatibility list that you'll want to check out. Not to say that that's all-inclusive, because the case that I put this in wasn't on the list, but it worked fine for me. So just keep that in mind if you're considering
it. I think the main, like, height, and I would assume initially designed this for the side mounts of their Y60, Y70, and Y40 cases. Yep. As it kind of will fit in there perfectly. I think the biggest thing that you do have to worry about in specific cases, and again, it may not be a case thing, it might be a motherboard thing as well, because this is going to sit sort of over your motherboard, I assume, right, yes. Ryan?
Yep.
And if you have larger VRMs or certain size memory, you could have clearance issues. I think that's the biggest thing to think about.
Yep, absolutely. You're exactly right. So additionally, on this radiator, you've got a bulky piece of plastic here and that has a lot of connectivity in it, which I'll talk about in a second. And these are thicker fans as well. We'll get to those in a second, but they're 32 millimeter thick fans as opposed to your standard 25 millimeter thick fans. Just a really thick hunk of cooling performance there that you have to take into consideration. So moving on to that radiator, you do have, there's a couple things here I want to mention. You have a less dense, less tightly packed fins. So you have lower fin density here, which you might think is maybe a bad thing, right? The more fin density you have, like the more surface area you have on those fins, therefore the potential to, cool better. Well, you can't have them too tight with this thick of a radiator. Otherwise your fans aren't going to be able to blow through there, right? So you've got a little better spacing, on these fins, which helps out with, airflow through the radiator since it's twice as thick. But you also have two pumps in the body of the radiator, which is kind of unique, right? We don't see that. We have seen it before, but usually your pump is like in the water block housing or maybe on the end cap, or we've even seen it in line on some coolers. So you've got dual pumps here that work in together with each other to move liquid through this radiator. So again, another unique feature of the thick Q60. Here's that end cap I was talking about. And again, we have very thick tubing coming out of the radiator end cap that allows for more liquid flow through the cooler itself. We've got this cool height logo here. It's a little button. At first I thought, oh, it's a removable cap to refill liquid if you needed. Nope, that's a RGB LED zone there for you if you want. Now here's where that molded plastic piece connects to the radiator. So this is where, you're going to plug and make a connection with the rest of your system. So it's kind of either up top, in my install example, I put the radiator up at the top of the case. So all that connectivity was up and away from everything else. But another thing you'll want to think about is what orientation you have the radiator in, because that cable is going to stick out from the side there. And depending on, it might be facing out towards the window of your case or back towards the motherboard plate. So just something to think about when you're installing. It's a little different than a traditional all-in-one, so just a little difference to keep in mind. So you have the main connectivity for that plug there, but then you also have an additional Nexus Link plug, which is a Type-C connection, and that way you can connect additional Nexus Link devices to your all-in-one cooler, whether that's a set of lighting strips or three lighting strips or some lighting strips and fans. You have the option to connect those all there without additional cabling.
These are height specific products, right?
Height Nexus Link compatible devices.
So, and that's just currently strips, that's just light strips and fans. Okay,
correct. Yep. I want to talk about the LCD here. We've got a 5-inch LCD, 60 hertz, 720p.
It looks
resolution
like a
phone. Exactly. It looks like the phone standing there, right? A really nice screen there, but a pretty standard looking water block, and you can see it's just black plastic, nothing fancy about the block itself. There's no pump in there, so it's actually kind of small compared to other coolers. And then you have this stem here that makes your connectivity from the rest of the system up to the screen to show the information there. Now what Height has done is inside of the looming for the liquid tubes, they've ran the
data cabling and power cabling for that screen inside of there. So you don't see it unless you look really close here at the fittings where it pops out.
I love this design.
Yeah, it's just,
I think one of the worst things when I did the MSI build was like, you have that either, you know, you have your CPU fan header or your USB cable going off of your pump block. And it's just like, I just don't want those cables.
I mean, it made sense at first when we were first getting these things, but yeah, Heights thought about that. And they're like, okay, well, we can move this and route it around here and do this and that. And it just ends up with a much cleaner build design there. So they have pre-applied thermal paste and a nice little design there. So
how do you feel about pre-applied on AI?
I can go either way. Like, it doesn't matter. I'm fine. What the piece I don't like yet, because I think it's just I'm old and grumpy and get off my lawn, is the, like, you have to put the stencil on and apply it and then pull the sticker off. I'm not used to that yet, right?
I did not
have to apply it, correct?
Yeah, this Cooler Master is one of the ones that makes you apply your own in that little,
like, has
a little stencil.
Yep, absolutely. So there's that screen again. Now, on the back side of the screen, we do have a 42 LED matrix. So this is like a translucent plastic, and that just gives the screen like a back glow. So you get a glow behind your screen that you can have synchronized with what's on the screen. You can set it to RGB, you know, whatever you want in their software. And it gives a nice glow that you would typically get from, you know, lighting on any other all-in-one cooler. And that stem here also swivels and tilts. So you were talking about, you know, having enough room for everything up top in your case, right? VRMs and things like that. So if you need to move the screen here, you can move it or angle it how you need.
It's nice that you can angle it because like right here, I'm just like looking at my system.
Right. And you might be seeing it.
I'm at an angle. So I would probably angle it towards me so I can see what's on the screen.
And you can do that with this. So these are those height fans, the FP12 fans, 120 millimeter fan, but they are 32 millimeters thick. And down here in this bottom right corner, they have a integrated thermal probe. So it can read the temperature of the air right around, you know, the fan so that you can monitor that. And then you can also adjust the system based off of those temperatures, which is really cool. Yeah. So I thought that was a pretty neat feature there. Got rubber grommets in the corners, and then like we've seen on a lot of fans lately, we have a cableless design. So they're using a pogo pin design with this and magnetic connectivity. So you just put two of these fans close to one another, make sure they're lined up properly, and it just like pop, snaps together. Yeah. You're done, you know, move along. So no cable mess or anything like that, which is really nice. And like I mentioned, they sent some other products along as well. They make this Nexus Portal, the NP50. This is just like a controller for Nexus products from Height. So you can add in light strips. You can control traditional fans as well with this. The cover kind of pops off and you get access to these Nexus Link Type-C ports, as well as like a thermal sensor, a legacy PWM fan, and you can provide power as well. But I did want to also mention there's some good compute hardware within this cooler, right? In order to do everything that this cooler is doing and not rely solely on the PC that it's connected to, this thing has like a quad core ARM processor, 2 gigs of DDR4. It's got 32 gigs of storage on it.
That's crazy. Even
its own like graphics processor, right?
That's like wild. When I saw somebody post that on Twitter about like the specs, and I was like, what? I was like, that's crazy that's all in there. But again, like you said, I mean, it is driving a display, and you'll show us what you could do with the display and how it looks and everything like that. I mean, it's pretty crazy. That's impressive. And like you said, the AIO itself can essentially act as a hub to connect other devices as well.
Yeah, so, it's like 18 devices on a single channel, I believe.
Yeah, and that's just one Type-C. Yeah.
Right. And here's an example of that Nexus Link connection on the light strips, right? So it's got this plastic molding around, and that makes it so that you
know. I think that everything should go to Type-C because
yes.
I'm sure anybody here knows connecting RGB wires, the three pins, it's a pain. And then especially if you know, then you're routing around into your motherboard and you're trying to get it in there. They come apart easily. Type C, yeah. I like that.
No, it was very nice. I agree. Installation was pretty straightforward. I did have to flip the fans around because, like you mentioned, they kind of designed this with their case in mind. And that's typically using, would place these in an intake orientation. So I'm using them as exhaust, but doing that was so easy. You just take the four, you know, screws out, flip the thing over, and magnetically connect it to the radiator and each other, and you're good to go. So super easy, real easy to swap in the AMD hardware. It just slides out and into place. And yeah, you just use some standoffs, you know, very, very standard installation process from Height. So nothing too terrible there. The only thing to think about is make sure you've got an additional 6-pin PCIe plug. I ended up having to swap out power supplies when I was originally doing the build because I had a lower, like a 500 watt power supply in there. It was still a newer power supply, but it didn't come with an additional.
It's interesting. PCIe, I don't know. Plug. Do you know how much power a Molex gives? Because the PCIe,
I don't off the top of my head. Because I was thinking about that at first. I was like, oh, maybe I've got a Molex to PCIe adapter, and I didn't want to mess with.
But
that,
like, so the PCIe, I think is what, 75 watts.
Yeah,
I believe. So I think I would assume a SATA is less than that. So that's probably why they did that. And so like, you didn't need two.
Correct.
I would assume. Yeah. All
right. Well, and that's the thing is that plug gives you the option to know, you know, this thing's powering two pumps, the two fans,
the screen.
Multiple and LEDs, 18, and then whatever else
you plug in. Up to 18 other devices, yeah.
Exactly. So there's potential for it to, you know, pull a significant amount of power or require a decent amount of power in order to do that. Now, on to testing. This thing is a beast. Like I mentioned, it essentially is like a 480-millimeter radiator attached, but in a 240-millimeter footprint. So idle temps, it was near the bottom of our chart, which is a good thing, right? And was competing with multiple 360 millimeter AIOs and beating a lot of them, right? Only the best coolers that we've seen so far did this not beat. But when we got to load, it was the second best performing in a 240 millimeter thick footprint. So I thought this was just an awesome performing device. And, you know, didn't make a lot of noise, just like, it's just awesome. I can't say enough good things about this cooler. The Nexus software is really cool. It's kind of like this dashboard, and I only went into the pieces that related to controlling the cooler itself, but you can monitor all sorts of things and show stuff on the dashboard. It's really, really pretty neat. But the way they have this laid out for setting the performance and settings of the cooler is you've got it broken down into three columns. You've got an input, which are the like temperature readings from your components, and by default the thick is selected, and then you've got some fan curves in the middle and the output, so you decide which input you want. So for example, the liquid temperature of the cooler, you tell it what curves you want to be available for that input, and then you tell it what to do with each of the components. So right now I've got this set up to monitor the liquid temperature of the thick Q60, make all of these curves available to it, but I only want to use the balanced curve on my fans and the performance on the pump. And you just like drag and drop, right, to make these changes. So it's really cool design, and something we haven't like seen from other companies. I really like the software. You've got some really extensive lighting options as well. You can kind of pick and choose, you know, what lights and light strips and zones you want where. Just a ton of customization with this. Same thing with that screen, right? You've got clock settings, you can show performance, you can show your weather, you can put a custom video on there. Anything you could would like think you want to do with this screen, you're pretty much going to be able to do that, right? So tons of customization there with this. And I even put together a video here that kind of goes over all of those menus and shows exactly what I'm doing on the screen with the app and shows it in real time on the cooler screen itself. Nice. So check that out if you want to like understand that more, because I could talk about that software for quite a while. So there's just a couple shots of that. And in this view, like this screen is shifted off to the left because if it were centered over my CPU, it would be running into the radiator, right? So that's where that swiveling moving screen comes into play. And you can see the backlighting there, obviously, behind it. We got the lit up cooler there. Here's more of that backlighting. on the backside of the
screen. Yeah, so you can see how the radiator goes over Ryan's memory. So if he had like a higher, like a larger memory, there could be issues there.
Yep.
Definitely something to consider. Like I said, this is probably initially designed for their cases where that wouldn't be an issue.
Right.
But yeah, definitely something to think about.
Yeah, so final thoughts. I think this thing is freaking amazing, and I gave it a 10 out of 10 and editor's choice. Now, all that being said, it does come with a price. It's $299. So there's definitely a cost associated with this, but you're getting some amazing performance, like cutting edge.
Yeah, but even if you think about it, what's the cost of like a
480?
Let's just do a 360 with a screen that's
250 already.
Yeah, usually. So it is pretty relative. I think there's a lot of it would be interesting to see them put out a 360 that's maybe not as thick, that has a lot of the same features. I think a lot of people would be into that, because a lot of people see this and it does kind of look awkward, especially in a case like that, you know, you installed it up top, which is essentially made for a 360. But if they came out with one that maybe not as thick, that would work in a lot of cases. That's the 360 that has.
And you could probably do standard thickness fans on that, right?
Yeah.
It's awesome. So yeah, it's got that display, the awesome software support, the reduced cabling, right? You've only got that one connection, the integrated hub to connect other devices, which is awesome. I think this thing's amazing. 10 out of 10. Check it out. If it fits in your
case. So like the NZXT Kraken Elite, which has the screen, that is $283. The white one, the black one is $276. So it's very much.
Yeah. You're right up there with everything else. So.
Yeah. Nope. And like I said, if you do have a Y60, a Y40, a Y70, this is going to integrate perfectly into the system.
Yep.
So,
yeah, some people like if you're buying this, you might expect this to have like RGB fans. These are not RGB fans, right? There's no lighting on these. But I would bet that NZXTGs height would be looking to make some RGB fans at some point, right?
And just again, this is like the first we've seen. This is the first one. This is the first iteration. Yep. So we'll see kind of where they go from there. It is, like I said, it's nice to see just like the type C change with the connections and these little things that, you know, we'll see maybe become more standard in the future. I think that's the biggest thing in making our lives easier as far as like, how did you feel about the installation? Was this a lot easier than a lot of other AIOs?
It felt just like any other, to be honest, right? Like the radiator mounts to the top or in your case, just like anything else. The CPU block mounted on just like any other would, right? With the standoffs and some screws with springs. It's straightforward. Nice. The only real difference was that, you know, I had the breakout cable that plugged into the radiator and I had to find an extra 6-pin.
Yeah. So. Gotcha. Cool. Very cool. Well, definitely check out Ryan's review. Really, like I said, there's a lot to talk about, and again, it's nice to see just something different, not necessarily the same. You know, most of these AIOs are made by the same company, Asetek, and we see a little bit difference with the screens and some designs, but it's nice to see a lot of different things in this AIO. So definitely check out Ryan's review. We'll move on to our last review of the week, and it's of this little guy right here. This little thing right here is called the Charge Disk, and it is a little M.2 2230 drive, and I have it in its little carrying case that it comes with, this little silicone carrying case here. And the cool thing about the silicone carrying case, it has this little keychain that actually has it's a USB cable that's built in, so you can kind of hang this on your book bag or whatever it may be, but you always have your USB with you. Not that it's needed, but I'll go ahead and open this up so you can see just how small this is, because this thing is absolutely.
I love this thing. It's like, it doesn't look like anything like your standard,
so
like this is portable drive.
This is the size of it. It's incredibly small. As you can see, it's kind of hard to see with the glare, but we installed a Patriot M.2 2230 M.2 SSD in there. And the cool thing about this is that it's designed specifically for M.2 2230. That's a 30 millimeter drive, so that's what allows us to be so small. So like portable SSDs are about this big, right? So if you like look at these two together, you can see the size. You know, much smaller. Yeah. But the reason I like this, and we see a lot of externals, this is just the enclosure. It doesn't come with the drive. We bought the drive. but the thing about this is that a lot of, you know, even in like enclosures that fit at 22, most enclosures fit at 2280, which would be around this size, right? The difference with this is that it's made for 2230, so it's so small. So you can plug this directly into something like an ROG Ally. It's compatible with the phone. So like I can plug this, and here's my iPhone, you know. And it's not like something big and bulky or anything like that. You know, it just, let me do it so the fan turns on. So there's a little integrated fan too that's like running right now. So cool. Yeah, it's so small. It's like this tiny little fan, but it's compatible with your iPhone. It's compatible with Android, so you can just plug it in. So it's not like this big bulky thing. You don't need an extra cable or like another attachment. You know, a lot of people who are shooting video on the iPhone, they have a little attachment for their drive. You don't need any of that. That's one thing I really like about this. Now it's USB 3.2 Gen 2, so you're going to get about 1,000 megabytes a second of read and write on this, performed right up to that. It's completely toolless. Even the installation of the drive is toolless, like the, try to show you, but the actual, this piece just comes right off.
Oh, okay.
And it's magnetic.
Is that a metal body?
Yeah, it's all metal body.
Nice.
This is a like glass, and yeah, and I like that it's glass, so you can actually see the drive inside. I don't know, it's kind of cool, I think.
Yeah.
And like I said, you have the little fan on the back. The fan is audible, not like crazy audible, but it is audible. And it automatically turns on when you're using the drive, but it does keep the drive cool by about 20%, they said. But yeah, it's just a really cool little drive. I love this thing. This thing is going to go with me anywhere, especially because, again, it comes with this little case that you can carry it and take it with you. I can plug it right into my devices. I don't need the cables, even though they're like nicely organized here on the keychain itself, which is really nice here as well. So just a great little, you know, little device, super easy to install. So like pretty much anybody can install their drive in here. And what's nice is that, you know, this drive, you know, the actual drive that you buy to put in here, you can use for other things as well. I mean, it's the 2230, so it will fit in a motherboard, but it's also going to fit in a mobile gaming device, ROG Ally or something like that. You know, just a great little device. And like I said, it performs right up to specifications, you know, right around 1,000 megabytes a second read and write on this thing. So it is a great little drive. And definitely, like, I prefer this because it's so small over a portable SSD. And the thing is, you know, your portable SSD breaks, it's kind of gone. Like you can buy another 2230 and put it in here.
Sure.
You know, so you don't have to worry about that, but it's a really cool little enclosure. The enclosure is $49.99. I gave it a 9 out of 10 and our recommended award. The only thing is, like, the fan is audible, but beyond that, they designed this just so well as far as, like, you know, a lot of people who are buying this may not be, like, PC people, right? You know, that's somebody who wants extra storage for their mobile device, or they want extra storage for, like, their Steam Deck or their ROG Ally, you know, because this just plugs right into it, you know. And
well, it's toolless, which is super easy.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's toolless, so the installation, you cannot mess up the installation. Like, you can't mess it up, which is really awesome on this. So definitely check out the review. Highly recommend this thing. It is awesome. And Charge makes some really cool stuff. We have some more stuff from them coming in. So just really thoughtful, unique products, and I love this. And I'm excuse me, I'm going on a trip next week, and this thing will be going with me. So
cool.
Be really cool. So definitely go ahead and check that out. We'll move on from there to our build. We did a build based on MSI Project Zero, which is their motherboards that don't have connections on the front. The connections are on the back. The entire thing is on YouTube if you want to check it out. The video is about 9 minutes long. We go over all of the parts. Here you can see the Project Zero board. You know, looks pretty normal, but as you can see on the back, we have all of the different connections. And then they sent us a case that's specifically made for this, you know, for this board. There are a lot of cases that will support these boards now. I know Corsair had, like, their new case has a lot of new cases will support these type of motherboards. And my biggest thing going into this build was, does this make sense? Because do you remember when we first started talking about this, maybe a year ago, we saw some leaks of these boards. We're like, okay, does having the connections on the back actually make things easier? Or does it make things cleaner? It definitely makes things
cleaner. Are you going to be able to see them? Yeah, like
it so makes many things, questions. It makes things a lot cleaner. Here is the back of the board. So, you know, all of the connections are here instead of on the front. So one of the biggest pain, it's not that big of a pain because I've done it so many times, but like if you're in a case like this, you would be routing cables from the back to the front or from the front to the back. This, everything, like all the connections from my power supply just go right into the back of the board. Everything is really nicely labeled and easy to access as well. It completely makes sense. It allows the front to be very clean. Let's get inside and look. Like, you know, as we said with the AIO, the only cable that's running is the USB cable and the CPU cable. But, you know, no other, like, if you look, I know we have the graphics card in front here, but like there's nothing coming around here. You know, the only cable that we do have is our 12VH PWR for our graphics card, but everything's on the back side of the case. It keeps it very, very clean. If we had our graphics card not in this orientation, it would be, you could see that, you know, nothing coming under the bottom here as well. That's one of the biggest pains. It's like connecting those bottom connections on a motherboard.
Oh yeah.
It's all on the back side now. And you don't, like a lot of people, you know, they'll forget to connect those and then they already have their graphics card installed and then they got to go under their graphics card and kind of find those connections. This makes it a...
Did that present an issue then on the, like on the back side? I was looking, the power supply almost looked like it was covering some of those. So did you have to put in the power supply last or...
No, so, well, I put the power supply in sort of last. Here, let's go to the back here. So a lot of these connections are on the side here. Okay. And pretty much everything is what's it called? Like you would connect first. So you would connect like your USB 2.0 down here and stuff. But like a lot of the connections are actually moved up to the top. There's a lot more, like a lot of the fan connectors are actually at the top now. Okay. Compared to where they would normally be on the board, right? Because they're kind of like spread out. Yeah. And I think we'll see that change too as these kind of evolve. Like there'll be more connections like on the side here and at the top, because a lot of these cases will be designed like this where your power supply will cover, you know. Let's see if we can find. So, yeah, go back. But yeah, so I had connected like the USBs that are below here, and everything like that. But it does make a lot more sense once you do the build. Because again, I was completely skeptical about this build. It was just
that's new territory.
Yeah, well, it was just like, why are we doing this? Motherboards work fine. You know, like it's not that big of a deal to connect everything, but this just streamlines everything. And again, it makes for a lot cleaner of a build. Like the build, like our build came out. So like you can see here, like there's no connectors, you know, you'd have cables going here and everything like that. And the only one we have is for our graphics card. So in this case that they sent over, man, it's this very bubbly case,
looking.
You know? Yeah. This is one single piece of glass. It is. Yeah, I mean, this is all one single piece of glass, which is great. They sent over all their fans, and almost everything in this build is from MSI. The only things that aren't from MSI is our processor and our memory. Everything else is from MSI. That's pretty cool. So the case, the AIO, the motherboard, the graphics card, our M.2 SSD, all the fans, what did I forget? The power supply, everything.
Cool.
So, awesome. Really, really awesome build. Definitely check out the video. Had a lot of fun making it. Did a whole time lapse build and everything. So we haven't done one of those in such a long time. So definitely check that video out there for sure.
It's a big project to do a whole build video.
Yeah, you're doing it. You know you're recording, so like you don't want to mess anything up.
You drop screws and you're like, gosh, I gotta.
Yeah. So. But moving on from there, we have Case Mod Friday. Of course, that's where we feature a build or mod that has been completed here in the community. And this week we have one called Mini Fusion. This is a custom case, which I think looks awesome. This is from MiniBot PC. And I mean, look at just the symmetry. Oh, that's cool. And like what are these? Just like little
the one
is a flow meter.
Yeah, flow meter there. And then I think the others are just kind of like routing devices, you know, so you can almost like a fitting to, you know, a 90 degree or whatever, but you can do it at a different angle.
Yeah. But just the way this looks and like how everything's just like integrated into this kind of custom chassis is so cool. You have the graphics card on one side, you have obviously your ITX motherboard on this side, and then you have the power supply, which is I believe this.
Oh, it's like it's a
yeah, like one of those ones. Yeah, that are like, yeah, so really cool. I love the colors too. The green and the white go really well together. We have Bits Power cooling in here. Just an awesome.
I like the black tubing as well. Is it chrome? Oh, it's chrome.
Yeah.
Okay.
But just like the symmetry of this, and this is just like a small little build. I mean, it's, you know, it is really small. But I love this shot right here with like, you know, the symmetry and how all this is kind of put together. It's just this would look awesome sitting on your desk. Really cool.
The green's good color for that.
Yeah. Really, really awesome there. So definitely check this one out. Again, shout out to MiniBot PC for this one. Really, really cool to see that. And then really quickly, we have another giveaway. So we are giving away a Lexar jump drive P30 USB 3.2 flash drive. This is a pretty fast flash drive, up to 450 megabytes a second on this. We reviewed it a while back. This is a 256 gigabyte version too. So it's not your... You know, it's not your 16 gig little, you know, or 8 gig little freebie flash. It's 256 gig. And it has a really nice metal casing too. So it is a nice little drive. So we're running this for 2 weeks, just like all of our contests. It is done through Gleam. So you just sign up. And guys, it is required that you subscribe to our newsletter. And stay subscribed. There are a lot of people that subscribe and then unsubscribe, which is understandable. But when we select the winner, we double check if you're subscribed to the email newsletter. If you are not, I pick somebody else. And that happened the last two contests, actually. The first person that won, they were not subscribed to the email newsletter, so they didn't get it. And then the next person was. So just when you do this, just make sure you stay subscribed to the email newsletter. We do check it. So I want to make sure you guys, if you are entering these contests, your entry is valid. So, and then once you do put in your information, there are 16 different ways to enter, subscribing to us on social media and doing all that kind of stuff. So, definitely check that out as well. And we'll move to news here. The big thing over the past week, I'm sure you guys have seen it on social media. I saw it, Ryan saw it, is all of the drama going on with EK water blocks. And I would suggest, if you want to know the whole entire backstory or whatever, Gamers Nexus did put out a video here. It's a long video. It's 36 minutes long. But if you're interested in all of the details on kind of what's going on with EK Water Blocks, who you assume, you know, if you think of EK, do you not think they are the most dominant water cooling company? If you really think about
it. Oh, for sure.
All the builds we see with EK parts, not on top of that, I mean, a lot of their products have been really high quality stuff. They're always announcing new things. But apparently, again, according to the research by Gamers Nexus, is that they have a cash flow problem. The sales aren't as great. They haven't been paying suppliers. But I think the biggest thing, and I think why they're getting called out, is that they're doing some shady things with employees as far as not paying employees, shaving overtime hours of employees. It seems like there's a culture problem between the U.S. team and the overseas team. There's a lot of they don't like each other, it seems. And good on Steve for Gamers Nexus for calling this out, because we don't like to see anything like this in this industry, especially people not getting paid. I think that's the biggest thing. I think that whether it's the employee or the supplier not getting paid, you know, especially the employee, you know, and again, if you're not paying the supplier, they're having a harder time paying their employees as well.
Right.
And it's like a trickle down effect. So I think that's kind of the big thing. Steve called them out on it, and you know, it's good to see that. And it seems like a lot of people, after Steve put out their video, a lot of people also put out other videos. I know Jace Two Cents had one. A couple other people had their experiences with EK. In our experience with EK, we don't work with them that much. Mainly, we've only done their AIOs, and we only work with like one person there. So we necessarily haven't had a bad experience with them. But this has caused DeBauer. He is no longer working with them. So he had done some products with them. He put out a video a couple of days ago saying that he, because of all of this, and he agrees with a lot of it, and he knows kind of more of what's going on, he said he doesn't want to be associated with them. So luckily for him, in his contract that he has with them, he can just say we're done with it. He does, you know, they don't have to take his name off of it or whatever. They can, you know, he's not like collecting a royalty or anything like that. He can just end the contract, sure. Which he did, which seems to be a pretty bad thing when, you know, his products are like the delidding and the water blocks that are made for delidded CPUs. Yep. That's like his thing. And when the main guy is saying, I don't want to work with you guys anymore, it's not great. Today or yesterday, EK put out their own video here called Embracing Accountability from the founder and CEO of EK. I think the biggest thing that people are saying is that it took, you know, a lot of these, like the suppliers haven't been paid in, some people are saying, you know, months. There's no employees not being paid. There hasn't been communication between management and employees, you know, and it took somebody with the reach of a Gamers Nexus to get them to respond or say anything.
Right.
I think they had to, because we've seen things like that where a company gets called out and then that company's gone. I mean, they're gone. I don't know what your thoughts are on it. I think that EK can recover from this. They need to.
Yeah, they've already taken action to try.
Yeah, and I think that there needs to be a culture change from what Steve has said as far as like the culture inside the company. Again, the two teams or multiple teams kind of fighting. And there was like apparently somebody who from the overseas team who was working with the American team kind of like snitching on them or like, you know, undermining them essentially. You know, because in our experience, EK has been their products are good, most of them. And I think one of the things that they are running into troubles with is that a lot of their products they're not selling in volume because they're so specific, right? You have a water block that's made for the specific SKU, not just like an RTX 4090, but the RTX 4090 Strix, right? Or there's a bunch that are, have all the different SKUs for every AIB partner card. And apparently for them to actually make profit on creating these products, they have to buy high volume from the supplier to get the discount. So they're making a lot and they're not selling a lot. And I think Old Man just jumped in the chat here. He said, sad to hear about EK. I think a lot of people might have been blind. Unless you knew what was going on, maybe you were a lot of people were kind of blindsided by this story, because I was kind of I was a little.
That was surprising.
Yeah, it's kind of just surprising. So I think EK can recover. They have they have a PR campaign and a campaign of changing culture within inside the company and doing what's right. So we'll see. But
yeah, this gives you the kickstart to maybe you've been trying to figure out or how to start that. You may have, because I know the CEO just came back in February, right? Into that role. Yeah. And so as bad as it sounds, it's you had to be found out or called out in order to okay, now we at least have to continue forward this, and hopefully they can, turn things around and make changes that are beneficial. But yeah, I mean, they had to create, you were saying, so many water blocks and designs for, multiple versions from multiple vendors across each release, year after year. And then they don't make everything in house, right? So they've got to contract out, and to get those volume, pricing, they've got to order in volume. And so they've got warehousing, full of product that then, only is it might sell really fast up front. Everybody wants to do a build on the, 4,000 series, right? But then as that product line gets older, the demand for your water blocks, because people are I'm not going to do a water cooled build with this generation, I'm going to wait till the 5,000 comes out.
Well, right? The thing is too, is just I said, you're making so many blocks for each specific SKU, of a 4090, and there's probably at least 50.
Yeah,
over the different AIB partners,
and that's just the card. Then you offer an RGB version, a non-RGB, a satin version, a polished version, a black, a white, all those iterations. Just they add up real fast.
Yeah, so I think I really, like I said, you really do appreciate Steve's reporting, because again, I think all of us, you don't want to, you hate to see this going on in this industry that we all love, and from a company that I think a lot of people have a lot of admiration for. But when it is happening, it shouldn't be swept under the rug. It shouldn't be, it's not, it is a big deal, because stuff like this can be contagious, where it happens in a lot of other companies. Do you remember all the gaming companies finally eventually got called out over their killing just crushing employees? They were overworking employees.
Like game developers?
Yeah, game developers. They called the crunch at the end when they were trying to do it, they finally got called out on it, and that helped culture around that. And I think this is sort of the same thing, not obviously on that type of level, but yeah, I think we'll see what happens with EK. Like I said, I mean, Computex is coming up. They have a booth there. See if there's any anything happens there with people reporting. I mean, obviously, people are going to report on this or ask questions about this at the booth, sure. You would think, right?
Oh, yeah.
And like I said, Gamers Nexus is going to Computex, so we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, like I said, check out the Gamers Nexus video. I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to add on it.
No, I don't think so.
We have another story about also
a shady. We're an hour in, and we got.
Yeah, we have this other shady business story.
Yeah.
So we talked about Lamptron and that CPU cooler, that air cooler that had the screen on it. And we said, oh, this looks awesome. This looks really cool. And the way that screen worked is, like a lot of these screens, they use 8 to 64 temperature sensors. And you need like a business version of 8 to 64 to do it. And apparently Lamptron was selling illegal 8 to 64 serial keys, or providing illegal area 8 to 64 serial keys from a serial key generator that was given out with these coolers in different screens. This was actually reported by DeBauer. And yeah,
so it's like the key gens for games back in the day, right? When you'd get a wares version of a game and you just run the key gen and all of a sudden you can play the game. You know, sometimes companies will pair, like Lamptron, what they should have been doing is partnering up with 8 to 64 to say, hey, can we get a redistributable license for this, right? We'll like pay X amount of dollars and we, so that we can provide a license with our product, right? And that's how they should have gone about this. And it doesn't seem like that was the case, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's in a lot of these, apparently, according to DeBauer, a lot of these products are now being pulled off shelves. So,
well, we hadn't heard from Lamptron in a while, and we might not hear from them again.
Yeah, who knows? But Lamptron did say that these keys are valid. I don't know what's going on, but lots of shady stuff in the business world, I'd say.
Weird.
We'll run through the next these next stories really quickly. This next thing was really cool. So we've seen the Steam Deck, we've seen the ROG Ally, we've seen the Lenovo Go, we've seen a ton of different ones. What's the other company? Minisform has a bunch. Everybody has these mobile gaming device, gaming handhelds. Well, somebody was like, I want to make my own. And they did. And then they're calling it the Ryzen Deck. It features a Ryzen 5 5600G APU, 32 gigabytes of memory, and a Crucial P3 1 terabyte SSD. This is what it looks like. You can tell that, and this is like a screen. This is a touch screen that they've installed on this thing. It's obviously more bulky than the other devices. But this person really wanted to make their own. And I think it's really cool that they were able to. And you can see a lot of this is like 3D printed type stuff on here.
I see some zip ties.
Yeah.
But yes, no, still very cool.
And you can see the back has fans on it and stuff. But I think it's super cool. Like, you can do this now. Like, you can actually make your own little gaming device. And I think that's pretty awesome.
It doesn't necessarily look too portable. It reminds me of the like Game Gear.
Yeah.
Right. Sega Game Gear. Wasn't that what it was called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because yeah. No, it's enormous. It's not insanely portable compared to the others, but it's a cool little project.
For being home built. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool. So that was over on Reddit. If you want to go ahead and check it out, we do have that linked. Up next, we have, so Elgato put out a new line of products. They're essentially based on the same products that they've had, but these are like more consumer facing products, which I think makes sense. Elgato, most of their products are gaming focused or like game, like streamer focused. These are more consumer focused products, and just want to go over them really quickly. One, they're all white, which again is more consumer focused. So they have a Wave Neo mic, as you can see. They have their Facecam Neo. These are all called Neo, by the way. Their Key Light Neo, which we don't have a picture of, but it's this key light, and that can like clip onto the top of your monitor. And then they have the Game Capture Neo, which is a capture device. Then they have Stream Deck Neo, which looks kind of nice. It's 2, 4, 8. What's the normal Stream Deck? Is it normal 15. Stream Deck's 15, right? So this has 8, 2 rows of 4 with a little other display here that you know has the time and stuff like that. I think this will be great for business, more business applications than the larger one. So yeah, those are the new products. Any thoughts on these?
No, I think it's cool. You know, maybe they the Elgato brand and name will start to become more synonymous with business use and home use, right? Like Elgato has traditionally just been that, oh, it's for streamers, right? But now if like, depending on price points, you know, someone needs a nicer webcam or that little clip-on and
light. If you think about it, I mean, Logitech is kind of like the go-to for business. Yes. Most of the time. And like, you see how these like, just like, again, face cam right on the monitor, the little yep. light right on the monitor, and it's all going to work together. And then again, if you are like, the Stream Deck integrates with all of those products, you know, very well too. So be interesting to see how they compete in that space, but
control them all from one device, one piece of software.
Yeah. So really, really cool to see that. Microsoft is now showing ads in Windows 11.
I heard.
Yeah, so this is an optional update right now. It will be rolled out next month as a full update. Basically, you're going to see something like this. You know, you go into your recommended in the start menu, and you'll see ads for software that's in the Microsoft Store. And not like Microsoft software, like 1Password is, you know, and this was in their update that was came out on Tuesday, or their optional update that came out on Tuesday. It will be rolled out next month. You can turn this off if you want to, but if you don't want to see, you know, ads, essentially, how do you feel about ads in the actual operating system?
I hate it. It's terrible. Like, I don't, if you've paid for it, right? Like, so there's no reason for it. I don't know. I don't like it at all. Bloatware was one thing where it was like, oh, these are like add-ons to this computer I bought, right? And you could remove them, or like, yeah, on phones, right? They'd always come with that stuff. But this is like baked further in. It's a function of the operating system itself, not an additional piece of software that's like installed onto it. This is not cool.
Wonder how much they're charging for that.
Charging, and then how many people, and who knows, it's probably more than I think. Like, how many people click it, you know, and buy, or would, where did they get their info to determine that this was a good advertising location or a good idea?
Yeah.
Because you know they didn't just think like, maybe we should try this. All right, roll it out. They've got the data behind it.
Do you think that it was worthwhile? Do you think that maybe, you know, we always talk about Windows as a service. They say they're on the last version of Windows. And then we get it. You know, we thought 10 was the last version. It's just going to be a service. And then 11 came out, right? Do you think this is where we're going to get to, where Windows is free? You know, you don't have to pay for a license anymore. But you're going to have to deal with stuff like this. And maybe over time, it will be more, these ads will be more prevalent.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Or would you prefer to pay for your license and you don't get any ads? Or would you rather have it free and get some ads?
No. Okay. Or maybe give me the option.
Right? Okay.
Okay. Either or. And we, you know, this hasn't really come to fruition as much, but like, I always expected games by now to like, an example that where I feel like it could work is like Grand Theft Auto, where you're driving or walking down the street.
There are some games that have had that.
Right. But like real billboards in the game, you know, and you could interact with it, and whether you interact with it in game to take you to the store that's built into the game. And then a day later, 2 days later, your package shows up on your porch. Or it takes you out to a browser and you make the transaction that way.
Yeah.
We haven't really gotten to that point.
But I also think that, I mean, this is a way for Microsoft to also gather data, and they can sell that data as far as like what people are clicking on, and like they can sell that to third party as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, not great to see, but I mean, it could be worse. It could be like an entire pop-up that's like, you hit your start menu, and then like, it's just like, it's like an ad on social media. It's like, wait 5 seconds and then you can access your apps.
I gotta wait for the skip to come up, and
yeah you're waiting for the skip button, so it's not that bad. So we'll see where this goes, but again, it will be rolled out in the patch Tuesday update, the one that's will be next month. So but you can turn it off. You would just go to, in your settings, go to personalization, start menu, and then uncheck show recommendations, so you can turn it off if you want to. Okay. But yeah, the last piece of news is Rocket, who we've reviewed many of their products over the years, almost from the beginning. We reviewed Rocket products, and one of the things I really loved about them initially was their software. So they were one of the pioneers of really good companion software for keyboard, mouse, that it gave you a lot of functionality. And they were one of the first to implement, you know, you have that button on your mouse, you press it, and then it remaps all the buttons to something else, or like an Easy Shift. I think they called it Easy Shift Plus. That was their implementation. Now every brand has it, right? You hit a button on your keyboard, then everything's a different.
Everything's changed.
Yeah. They were one of the first to do it, and they had really good software. They were, of course, Turtle Beach bought them in 2019, and the company more or less remained the same. We still got new Rocket products. Here's pictures of the latest keyboard that we reviewed from them. But it looks like Turtle Beach is retiring the brand. All of the Rocket products will be renamed Turtle Beach PC. And I think this does make sense to me, just for the fact that, like, if you think about the market reach of Turtle Beach when it comes to the gaming headset, that is a known brand. Like, if you're an Xbox gamer, PS5, like, you know Turtle Beach for a really great headset, right? So I think, you know, on the PC side of things, like, maybe not everybody knows of a Rocket, right? They're not like a tier one brand name as far as like a Logitech or something like that. So having Turtle Beach, it's all under one brand. It kind of makes sense. I don't like to see it go away, because again, Rocket's been around for 20 years. And was, like I said, we worked with them from the beginning on reviews. Like, I remember going to, when they were like a brand new company, like going to see them in their suite at CES, and they were talking about this software. They were like really excited about it. They were doing something different than everybody else, and it's kind of sad to see the brand name go.
I don't like it.
Okay,
Turtle Beach to me, like, yes, it's, I know they have a bigger following on the console side, you know, and like Turtle Beach sound cards were the thing, you know, back in the day, and some headsets. Like, I don't go to Turtle Beach when I think of PC components, right? Like that Rocket name, just, I know it for PC items. I don't understand why you couldn't keep the two names, but whatever. Like,
I also feel like Turtle Beach PC is just so generic.
Yes.
So, but yeah, so sad to see them go. Maybe I'll keep my a couple of the Rocket products I have, might as well keep them. I might be collector's items
now.
Yeah.
Collect things like me, Bob.
Yeah, look at all the boxes behind you, stuff.
That's right.
So yeah, so that is our news for the week. Coming next week, I'm trying to get this motherboard review done, but I've redone, if you look behind me, like, new desk.
Yeah, new desk back there.
New desk, a bunch of new stuff. So whole new setup for testing stuff as well. So taking a look at the Asus ROG Strix Z790E Gaming Wi-Fi 2 motherboard. Lots of great upgrades on this board, including Wi-Fi 7. And we'll be doing a whole thing on Wi-Fi 7, because I have a Wi-Fi 7 router as well that Asus sent over too. So we'll be doing a lot of stuff with Wi-Fi 7 coming up. But review of this board next week. And then also taking a look at the desk. So Odin Lake, who makes this awesome chair, which I've been literally in love with. This chair is amazing. That they had sent over. They sent over one of their standing desks. So they sent over their S450, and I got the wood one that looks like this, that has this really nice wood top, which I'm a huge fan of. And I am basically this one. Mine has the black legs and everything. I wanted to do something a little bit different. So I went with a more darker color. So pretty excited about that. So I have that for you guys next week as well. Real super easy to build too. I mean, it went together quite easily. So, and again, you can see it in my right there. I have to clean up the wires, but it's there. So, yeah, we'll have that for you guys next week. As far as the question of the week, now we talked about Turtle Beach taking over Rocket, and they essentially, I think Rocket was fine under them. There wasn't, they were still putting out products. But the question of the week is, what brand was different after it was bought out or maybe absorbed by another company? Do you have any that come to mind?
I do. And this is actually like a very recent, a recent acquisition and a recent experience. So Drop was purchased by Corsair.
Okay. Right?
And that just finalized and kind of went into effect. We just talked about it a couple weeks ago. Like, you know, so a guy at work had ordered he's ordered stuff from them in the past and liked it. He has one of the Lord of the Rings keyboards, you know, has a couple of their products. He wanted a desk mat from Drop. So he ordered it and it showed up and it was a smaller box, but it was heavy. And he was like, well, this is weird. He opened it up. There's a keyboard inside. So they sent him the wrong product. And he told me about it at work. I was like, oh, that's interesting. You know, like, so he asked them, you know, like, hey, you guys sent this to me. Like, I expected this and that. And they wanted him to, you know, ship it back. But it was just the process of, I told him, I was like, well, see if they'll like let you keep it and then just ship you the mat or like give you a discount on the keyboard and let you keep it. Cause it was their mess up. Right. And he was like, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Well, they wanted the keyboard back, which I was like, yeah, you know, it was worth a shot, but you know, they're no surprise that they're going to want that, you know, almost $300 keyboard back, but they wouldn't ship him the product that he ordered until they got the keyboard back. And I was like, well, you guys screwed up. Like I wanted a $30 mat, like just cross ship it or something. Right. Like,
Cause it's like, you're waiting for the mat. Like that's what you're waiting for.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's what he ordered. That's what he wanted. He could have just not done anything and ordered another mat
for 30
and
had bucks.
A mat and a keyboard for 60 bucks. Right. And, but he did the right thing, you know? And so I was like, well, like I said, like, see if they'll give you a discount on the keyboard or like something. And so he was like, all right, yeah, I'll do that. And they gave him a $5 gift, like credit. And I was like, okay, did they give you a credit towards the purchase you made or a future? And he's like, no, they gave me $5 credit on my account. So he has to spend that $5 with them now in the future. And I was like, I don't know if that's a thing with like, if Drop themselves would have done it differently, but now that Corsair owns it, like I was like, I don't know, but that was one
and it might be too example. Soon to like where they have taken over.
Exactly.
So. I have a couple that really came to mind. One of the biggest is OCZ when they were, who bought them? Toshiba? Yeah, Toshiba.
Yes.
Bought OCZ. OCZ was like the brand when it came to high performance memory, gaming memory. Whenever Toshiba bought them, they was just like, it kind of just fizzled out. It really,
I have a Toshiba OCZ SSD.
Because when they bought them, the SSD thing just might have just started. But I just remember like OCZ was just like, they were the brand, and then they got bought, which is kind of smart because I think if you start a company and you're that highly sought after, you kind of want to get bought. But it kind of just, and even just like, it was more like the company was like a lot of fun to work with in the beginning, and they had like really fun parties and like all this stuff. And after it was bought by Toshiba, it was very corporate, very, very corporate. And just like old man in the chat said, HyperX, same. I feel it's very much the same. Like HyperX was that really awesome gaming brand, and
it was a Kingston brand, but
yes, Kingston brand. But HyperX became really, really big because they were making really great products. And I mean, when we went to CES and saw them last time, they had some of the dumbest products I've ever seen. And I mean,
they had some good products too. Like,
yeah,
I don't get me wrong. I'm using a HyperX mouse. Like,
yeah,
this is my daily. No,
they
driver.
Had they like, but like products. The things that they were most excited about was like 3D printed, like keycaps
and headset add-on things.
Yeah, and it was just like, oh, this is...
They didn't even show it at CES this
year. That's like, that's HP, you know, HyperX is HP now. And even if you look at what they have been coming out with, it's very... What would you call it? It's very...
Well, they're safe products.
It's very safe and kind of like corporate release products.
Hello, fellow gamers. Here's our new...
They did... I mean, the recent products was like they came out with like new mic, a game, like a gaming switchboard audio interface thing. They have a couple of different things, but I just feel like it's just like the marketing's not as good. You know, and again, it makes sense for Kingston to sell off. I mean, Kingston is not making a lot of money off of their enthusiast based stuff. They are making most of their money off of enterprise. They are a memory company. So it made sense. Shinny in the chat said SciTech after being bought by, I remember SciTech. We worked with SciTech way back in the day. We reviewed some of their products. They had really awesome products, and yeah, they got bought up by Logitech, and it kind of just, it seemed like the company just like fizzled, like, you know, it was all brought over to Logitech. And now,
one that's done well so far, and maybe this, and this gives me hope for drop, is Elgato, right? Like, yeah, they've been knocking it out of the park since being bought by Corsair like 5 years ago.
Yeah. Maybe.
Heck, it's probably even more than that.
And in an older one that, again, I do feel that the products are just like, they don't have that, like, the same feel, was when Dell bought Alienware. I feel that Alienware products pre-Dell were, like, just kind of more radical, and they just had that different feel, and it was just, like, they took a lot more chances, and then Dell bought them. And again, corporate, you have... you know, just like with the HyperX and HP thing, you have these boards and you can't, you know, you need to, it's a lot more reined in. So I think that was another one. I'm trying to think if there's any more that I can think of that companies were bought out.
Yeah, I was trying to think, like, coolers or like graphics cards, like none of those companies have really come together. Any cases or
Shinny said,
Omen, who made HP makes Omen right now.
Yeah, they own them, so. Shinny said, dude, you're getting a Dell. We used to, my friend got an Alienware laptop one time, this like years ago, and we'd always be like, oh yeah, you got a Dell. We just make fun of them. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any other brands that essentially got bought out. It just went. I mean, the big, like I said, the biggest one for me is OCZ. HyperX is a pretty recent one that it just, the products just don't seem to hit like they used to. Although, I mean, you have that brand, one that wasn't necessarily a brand that was bought out, but you remember Crucial ended the ballistics line.
Yeah.
Which was kind of weird at the time. So yeah. Old man in the chat also said he bought the PC cooler DE360 liquid CPU cooler AIO. The white version was on sale for $65 for a 360 AIO. That's a good deal.
Pretty good deal, yeah.
Yeah. Also, I did want to say that I don't know if you watched it, Ryan, but I did watch Fallout, the series.
I've watched. Oh, you watched the whole thing?
I watched the whole thing.
I've only watched episode one. We do plan to keep watching it, but it was good. It was bloody and violent.
Yeah, but it's bloody and violent.
Things that I enjoyed because, like, I haven't played any of the Fallout games.
Okay,
but I've played Fallout Shelter. This is just like I don't want to call it a mini game, but a mini game. And it was like, even things in that were very like, I was like, oh, this is, you know,
one thing. I liked, and this is a TV show, guys. If you don't know, it's on Amazon Prime. It doesn't follow any of the games. Like, what was the show? Last of Us, that followed the game like to a T.
Right.
This doesn't follow the game. Any of the Fallout games. It's in the same universe, but it's a different story per se. But I really like end of the world scenarios in general. I played some of the games in the past, so it was really cool to have a show, and I think the show was really well done. Like I said, I watched the whole thing. They just renewed it for the second season, so I'm excited for that. So yeah,
I mean, episode one was good. I enjoyed it. Just I gotta continue watching it.
Yeah. Anything else tech related for you?
No. I mean, I got some. No, not really. Like, if you would watch the X-Men 97 is good on Disney Plus.
I don't support Disney anymore.
Oh, okay, all right.
They raised up. I literally signed up for them, like, to get the triple package. It was like ESPN, yeah. Hulu. Literally a month later, they raised the price on me. Like literally a month later, and it's like that's like against like something. Like you can't just raise the price a month later, and then like 3 months later they raised the price again. And I was just like, no, I'm just gonna pay for ESPN so I can watch hockey, and that's it. Yeah.
He says he finally got rid of me since the last part. I don't know that. Man, who knows?
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, long pod. We had a lot to talk about because we did miss a week. We will be here next week, and then the following week we'll see if we have a podcast. Because like I said, I'll be on a little vacation, little mini vacation. Ryan took his skiing vacation. Yeah. Like I said, we will be here next week, but then I'll be going on a little beach vacation for me to take some time off. But we have a lot of stuff coming. Definitely, like I said, check out all the reviews this week. Check out the MSI build. That was so much fun to do. We have some really cool products coming up here as well. So definitely stay tuned for all of that. Of course, it is Wednesday night. That means it is gaming night. So Ryan will have that stream up over on Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Head over there. We're going to be playing some Apex Legends, maybe some Helldivers.
Nope.
Ryan hates that
just
game.
Just Apex.
We're playing some Apex Legends over there. It'll be fun to play. I haven't played in like 2 weeks, so it'll be fun to do that. Thanks, everybody, for coming out. Of course, Shinny in the chat and Oldman in the chat. Good to see you guys. And we will see everybody next week.